Lord, what is this world coming to? What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can, in the situation room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put some on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth that's found in the word of God. We don't have to be afraid to tell the truth, because God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid to stand up for the truth, because God is on our side. We don't have to bag up or shed up, but we can stand up and speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you're getting the truth out the word of God, then God is indeed on your side. Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to the Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. After all, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We're excited and delighted to have you this morning in the Situation Room. We hope and pray that things are going well for you and your family in your neck of the woods. Today we have a wonderful program for you today in the Situation Room. Today we have one of the great preachers, Dr. Kenneth Ulmer. He's going to come today and going to preach a sermon about the deception of the downfall. The deception of the downfall. So get close to your radio and listen as Dr. Kenneth Ulmer teaches.
Chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, give your neighbor a great big smile. Don't laugh at him, just give him a big smile. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, you look better than you did last time I saw you. One more time. Say, oh, your neighbor, neighbor. Today we're going to learn about the deception of the downfall. Amen. Let's look at the context and the setting of this passage. God has created man from the mud. And from man he has brought forth woman. He placed man and woman in the garden, and he says to man, all of these trees, all of this vegetation, of it you may freely eat. You may freely eat. God's first word to him was freely eat. Don't miss that. God speaks to Adam, to the man, and says, you may freely eat of all these trees. Then he says, now come here. Brought him over to the center of the garden and said, now see that one tree right there? That one tree. don't eat of that tree. All of these trees are available for you. But this one tree, don't eat of it. Let me just tell you right now, in the day that you do, you will surely die. That is the setting and backdrop of chapter 3. Freely eat of all the trees in the garden, but of this one tree, don't eat of, don't eat of this tree. And if you do, in that day you will surely die. You're going to die. Chapter 3 is a different conversation. In chapter 3, it opens with a conversation, listen, between the serpent and the woman. The serpent and the woman. Nowhere in the text is the serpent identified as the devil. That's important. Nowhere in the text is the serpent called or referred to as the devil. Nowhere in the text. But if you go back to the last book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, you don't have to turn to it. Revelation chapter 12 tells us that this serpent, listen, this serpent is Satan and is the devil. One more time. In Genesis, in the book of Genesis, chapters 1, 2, and 3, the opening scenes of creation, the serpent appears in chapter 3. And nowhere in that chapter, nowhere in the context, is this serpent referred to, identified, or called the devil. However, when you come to the book of Revelation, at the very end of the Bible, if you will, he is identified. There's a lesson in there. Because for the most part, we don't realize it was a devil until after the fact. I got a long way to go and a short time to get there. Come on, pray with me today. So chapter 3 opens with a conversation between the serpent, the devil, and the woman, Eve. If you interpret this passage and if you interpret this text on the basis of gender, you will miss the revelation. One more time. If you interpret this text, approach this text, study this text, and understand this text as some statement about the distinction between men and women or male and female, you will miss the essence of this passage. For the character in this chapter is Eve, who was taken from or out of, if you will, man or Adam. So that the revelation, the truth behind what seems to be a reference to gender, but is much bigger, is that, listen, the Eve represents that weak, vulnerable spot or place in our existence and being that is susceptible and temptable by the enemy. I'll say it again. The Eve, if you see it purely in terms of male and female, you'll miss it. The Eve represents that part of us, that element in us, that dimension of us, that is temptable and susceptible and weak to the attacks of the enemy. Tell your neighbor, there's an Eve in you. If you miss that, you'll miss the revelation. I promise you. If you see this as some statement about men and women or male and female, you'll miss it. So there's a conversation in chapter 3 between the serpent, who we now know as the devil, and Eve, who we now know as us. You missed it. I'll give it to you again. The conversation is between the devil, serpent, and Eve, and the Eve in us. The enemy, if you will, responds and challenges Eve in chapter 3 and questions God's authority. For the opening conversation is, did God really say? And the debate and discussion goes downhill from there. She must must have understood, watch this now, understood what God said, because she paraphrases it and says, God did say that we could eat from any tree, and God did say that we should not eat of this tree. Which raises the question. And we're going to spend some time in the white spaces of this text. We're going to read between the lines and seek for revelation of practicality and application in our lives. Here's the question. Do you think Eve understood God? I'll say it another way. Do you think she heard God? Another way. Do you think she knew that God said, don't eat of that tree? That's not a trick question. That's not a trick question. No. That's not a trick question. No, seriously, ask yourself, do you think she heard him? You ever remember your little kid and your mom told you to do something and mama said, did you hear what I said? The very fact that she has to ask, did you hear what I said, implies that evidently you didn't hear what I said. Because you have not done what I said. Did you get that? I'll give it to you again. Mama said, did you hear what I said, boy? Implying that evidently you didn't. Because what I said for you to do, you have not done. Now watch it. This is key to the revelation of the scripture. The biblical Hebraic concept, listen to me. The biblical concept of hearing, listen. The biblical concept of hearing includes and assumes obedience. I'll give it to you again. The biblical concept of hearing, listen to me, assumes that there is obedience to what has been said. The components of hearing is this: revelation that requires the appropriate response. One more time. Hearing has these components. Revelation, but that revelation requires appropriate response. Now, if in fact there has not been the appropriate response, evidently you didn't hear. Because hearing assumes that there will be the appropriate response. So to say that you've heard and not obeyed implies you either did not really hear or you deliberately disobeyed. If she heard him, why did she eat? And that's a good question. One more time. She must have heard him because she paraphrases back to the devil what God said. She said, he said we shouldn't eat, and he said if we do, we're going to die. Now, she must have known it because she added something. And he said, don't touch it. He didn't say don't touch it. But she must have understood, stay with me now, she must have heard it. Now, if she heard it and understood it, why did she disobey? Let's try it another way. If she truly understood, stay with me now, truly understood the prohibition, why would she do it? Say it another way. If she heard what God said, and knew that what God said required the discipline in her part and his part of not doing it, why would she do it? Try it again. If she knew that what she did was against the will of God, why would she deliberately disobey? If she knew that taking of the tree was disobedience, why intentionally and deliberately go against what God has said? All right, you're not getting any of that. Let me try this. Why would she intentionally sin? You don't get that either. Let's go back to the deep end of the pool. Why do you sin? Why do you deliberately do what God says don't do? Why do you understand that God said don't do it, and you do it anyway? Ain't nobody spiritual on this side of me. Nobody on this side is smiling. Let me go over to the real spiritual folk. See, that's a real question. If you know that what you're doing is wrong, why would you intentionally and deliberately do it? I'll give you some multiple choice. You didn't understand what God said. Now, what God said was, don't do it. What part of don't you understand? Here's one. Well, that's not really what God said. Here's one. Okay. God said that, but he didn't really mean that. He didn't mean that. He was just playing with you. He didn't mean that. But here's one. Yeah, he said that, and he meant that, but I know somebody who did it, and they got away with it. You don't know nobody like that, huh? Here's one. Yeah, I know he said that. I know he said he's going to do that, but I can handle it. But whatever the consequence, I'm a big boy. I'm a grown man. I can handle it. I've handled it in the past. So whatever the consequences are, I can handle it. Why do you sin? Why do we knowingly disobey, deliberately and consciously exercise the power of the will and choose to do what God said don't do? All right, put a pin in that. She takes of the fruit. Watch this one now. She takes of the fruit and she eats. The Bible says she ate. Pause. It was of the knowledge of evil, the knowledge of death, the knowledge of good and evil. So now she knows what death is. She understands that there she is in the process of dying. She understands what evil is. Stay with me on this one. She has taken of it and she now knows that it was death, because it's the knowledge of death, the knowledge of evil. Here's my question. If she knew, and she did, that by now what she did was wrong, and she did, because it was knowledge, why would she then give it to Adam? I'm going back on the side with the holy folk. I'll be back, y'all. Okay, I'll be back. That's a legitimate question. That is a legitimate question. If she partakes and eats and therefore comes into the knowledge of evil and wrong and bad and sin, why would she turn around and give it to Adam? You know it's wrong. Why would you bring somebody else into this mess? You know going in that is sin. Why would you invite somebody to join you in your sin? All right, you don't like that. By the way, who do you sin with? Who is your sin partner? Hey, I'm coming in a minute, y'all. You ever been like out in a mall or somewhere, or somewhere out somewhere, and you pass somebody that you knew back in the day, and you have flashbacks? And your mind plays all these rewind buttons. Am I the only one who did that? Y'all lying too. Y'all ain't. Nobody over here is spiritual. Well, I don't know. Who do you sin with? Who have you invited to join you in sin? Some have suggested, what's this one? That the story of Adam and Eve, especially in this particular part of her giving him the seed, giving him the fruit, that it was a kind of biblical Romeo and Juliet. It was an expression of her love for him. And because she loved him, she wanted to share, although knowing that that in which he would share was wrong. Knowing it was wrong. If you love me, you will. If you love me, you wouldn't ask me. What kind of love is it that you invite me to participate in sin, and you know it's sin? You know what God has told you. Why would you invite someone in the middle of your sin? Here we go. The simplistic one-word definition of why to all those questions is the word deception. Stay with me on this one. She was deceived. She was deceived. The Bible says the woman that she was deceived. The word deceived means, listen, it means to lead astray. It means to seduce off the path of truth. The word deceived means to allow or to cause wrong to look right and right to look wrong. Give it to you again. To deceive means to lead someone off the track. It's the idea of seduction and temptation and pulling them and attracting them off the track and leading them away from truth. It's deception that causes you to see what is wrong and declare that what is wrong is in fact right and what is right is wrong. And you're looking right at it, but you call it the wrong thing. That's deception. I am wearing a pink suit. No, not pink. I'm wearing a gray suit. And everybody in here knows this suit is black. But your eyes and discernment is so deceived that you see me in a gray suit. Deception causes you to see wrong and call it right, see right and call it wrong, because your mind has been seduced off the track and the trail of truth. Now the Bible says that the reason was because she was seduced, or rather, she was deceived. Go to the book of 1 Timothy, quickly. The one word answer is deception. Stay with me on this one. 1 Timothy chapter 2. The key to the fall was deception. Stay with me. The key to the fall was deception. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. And Adam was not the one deceived. It was the woman who was deceived and became a sinner. Now, all you feminists, don't write me no letters. Don't picket me outside. Don't write me no here. I told you, if you only see this in terms of gender, you'll miss it. The Adam was not deceived. Stay with me. But the woman was deceived. Stay with me. There are two words for deceive. Stay with me on this one. What is the word apateo? Don't trip off of that. The word means to be deceived, to be seduced to evil, or to be led astray. Deceive. There's another word, ex apateo. Don't trip off the word. Get the meaning. Which means to be fully deceived. X is an intensive. Stay with me. It is a synonym for deceive, but it means to be fully and completely, listen, and totally deceived. So we have gradations, if you will, or grades or levels of deception. Stay with me. One means to be deceived, led astray. The other one means to be totally deceived, completely deceived, fully deceived. Now watch this. You cannot stop at the statement that Adam was not deceived, because Paul says in Romans, he does not say sin came through Eve. He says sin came through Adam, one man. And because of the one man causing sin, there is one man, the second Adam, or Jesus, who brings salvation. Are you getting that? One more time. So one cannot stop at the point of saying that Adam was not deceived, point blank, because it is in fact Paul who says that Adam was the cause of sin. It was the sin entering into the world through one man, Adam. And therefore salvation came through one man, the second Adam, which was Jesus Christ. So Adam had to have a part to play in this. I mean, he ate two. The key is in the conversations. One more time. The key to the levels of deception is in the conversations. Genesis chapter 3. Stay with me. Genesis chapter 3 verse 1 is a conversation. Here we go. And the serpent was more crafty, and he said to the woman. Here we go. It's not a trick question. Who are the participants in this conversation? Who and who? The serpent and the woman. Don't miss that. Chapter 3, verse 1, conversation between the serpent and the woman. In that conversation, he causes her to doubt the word of God and doubt the authority of God. One more time. Conversation in chapter 3, verse 1, between the devil, the serpent, and Eve, the woman. In that conversation, he deceived her in the sense that he convinced her that God did not say what he meant. He convinced her that God does not have authority over what she does. Come down to verse 6. The woman saw that the fruit was good for food. Blah, blah, blah. She took some of it and also gave some to her husband and who was with her, and he ate. Who is this interaction between? Eve and, here we go. In this verse, there's a dialogue, there's an interchange between Eve and Adam, the man and the woman. She deceives him, says that several times in the New Testament. And he ate. You got that? Go back to chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 16. Gonna make sense in a minute. And the Lord commanded the man. Stop right there. Who's talking in this chapter, in this verse? God and Adam, the man. And it is there that God says, don't eat of that tree. Next verse. You may freely eat of all, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Look at me. In chapter 2, verse 16, there's a conversation. Stay with me now. Between God and Adam. In fact, Eve is not even around. So the command that restricts partaking of the tree was given to Adam. In chapter 3, verse 1, there's another conversation between the devil, the serpent, and Eve, the woman. And in that conversation, he, the devil, convinces her that God has no authority over her and God did not mean what he said. In chapter 3, verse 6, there's another conversation implied between Eve and Adam. And in this conversation, she convinces him to partake of the fruit. Now, here we go. There are two words for deceived. One means totally deceived. One means fully or completely deceived. And one means to be deceived as in led astray. Here we go. Adam was deceived. Eve was completely and totally deceived. The New Testament uses the word referring to Eve as the word that means fully or completely deceived. Stay with me. She then comes to Adam, who is deceived, but implied not fully. But he still sinned. Therein is a trick of the enemy. If he can hook you up with someone whose faith is weak already. They're not completely turned from God, but they are susceptible and vulnerable to the temptation to be led astray, then you're right where the devil wants you. In other words, Eve, who was totally convinced, came to Adam, who was convinced and deceived, but not totally, and she seemed to have convinced him. That's the way the enemy works. He hooks you up with someone who you have such a desire for, such a need to be with, such a need to fulfill your loneliness, that you then move from a point of doing what they say, although you know it's not what God said, because in the end, you want them more than you want God. Am I saying it too fast? I'll give it to you again. You want to please them more than you please God. And if the devil can ever get you to put somebody in your life who you value more than you value God, then you'll do what God says doesn't do. You'll walk away from what God says do. You'll betray and walk away and disobey God, because at the end of the day, you want to please that person more than you want to please God. Is anybody getting this at all?
All right, we're going to have to stop the tape right there today. But boy, he was just getting started. That was Dr. Kenneth Omar. Oh, my goodness. Thank you so kindly for joining us. Listen to us all day long, because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room. And we'll pick up there tomorrow in the Situation Room. God bless you. Have a good day.